This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Okay, so it seems as though we have a clip. You want to set it up for us?
I'd like to, but I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, we'll just roll it.
And now, the whole show's clip of the day.
All right, so the New York Knicks swept the Philadelphia 76ers. Final game, game four, was on Sunday night. The Knicks win 144-114. Joel Embiid, after the game, goes to the podium, and he brings his young son, his kid, to the postgame podium following their first round playoff sweep by the Knicks. And there are a lot of people that are not crazy about him doing that. And we've seen this before, Mike. We've seen players bring their kids up. We all remember Steph Curry's little girl, and was it Blake Griffin? It was Chris Paul's little boy. And, I mean, adorable, awesome, fun videos. The argument now is don't bring the kids up after a loss, especially after a series loss. Here is, and I want to play this clip. I've disagreed with this human a lot, but it's a conversation starter. And you know, I respect a lot of these radio people, TV people that can generate good conversations. And I think this is actually a good conversation. It's a random conversation, but worthwhile. Nick Wright of First Things First has some serious problems with guys like Joel Embiid bringing their kids to the post-game podium following a loss or a series loss. Here's Nick Wright.
I want to say one other thing because I've said this many times, but now it has come up again. Bringing children to press conferences after losses should not be allowed. And I think Joel Embiid is obviously an awesome family man and a great dad. And when we first saw it with, I think it was Steph's daughter, Riley.
Right.
It was, not only was it adorable, here's the other thing. It was in the midst of them always winning and all the press conference stuff was just celebratory. And so it was cute. And there was never a, oh, man, I kind of need to ask him an awkward question, but he has this adorable child with him.
Right.
It is, whether intentional or not, the ultimate effect is your kid is shielding you from what could be tough or uncomfortable questions. That is the point of those press conferences.
Right.
And I am not picking on Embiid because he's not the only guy to do it. And I do like NBA guys in the 90s, it was the opposite kind of stereotype of like these guys, the old Sports Illustrated article, where's daddy, like the absentee father stuff. I really like how the modern NBA star has really embraced, like, We know all these guys' kids. We know Deuce. We know Cannon Curry. We know Bron's kids on the team, but his other kids,
Cam Boozer.
There you go.
He drafted.
But I don't think after season-ending losses, when you're talking about your future with a team, that you should have your kid on your lap. Mm-hmm. Just, I know this is, I'll just get ripped for it, but I know I'm right.
I disagree.
At first, I disagreed with that take. Those press conferences, again, don't forget, there are jobs involved with press conferences, Michael. Reporters, radio people, TV people, they go to these press conferences most of them go there to get real answers. And the Sixers just got swept. and not in a, I mean, getting swept is never a good thing. But here were the scores of these games: 137 to 98, 108 to 102, 108 to 94, 144 to 114. Joel Embiid has been a very vocal guy in the league, especially vocal about his own accolades and how he should be MVP. You know, obviously the campaign he won against Joker, and it's not really sour grapes about that stuff. Whatever. Joker has three. I'm fine with that. But if you do bring a kid onto the podium, the people that read your stuff and listen to your stuff and watch your stuff might be a little disappointed that you pulled some punches in a press conference. Again, it's end of season. It's not season review, not like the Cronkies and all that did on Friday, which, again, I think them bringing kids to that would be weird. This is a moment after where it's raw. You're wanting to ask questions about the future. I mean, heaven knows we were listening to LeBron James get question after question about when are you going to call it quits, when are you going to retire. Would a reporter be as apt to ask all those questions in front of a child when it's kind of like, well, LeBron hasn't talked to his – let's just, for the sake of argument, let's assume his kids are all small. Would maybe he hasn't talked to his family yet, and this is kind of awkward to ask – their dad, if he's thinking of quitting basketball, which they probably think he's a hero for, that could be difficult. Now, I'm not saying all reporters would not ask those questions. There's a lot of great reporters that just have the stones, and they can ask whatever, whenever. But even good reporters, I could see kind of being respectful and backing away a little bit from those questions. Now, press conferences a lot of times are they're not going to answer the questions anyway. Joel Embiid's going to say, I'm going to take a long, hard look at my future, and you know, we're going to sit down, blah, 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 blah. You're going to get most of that. But I do kind of get what Nick Wright is saying, and he's basically saying they should make it a rule that after press conferences, you shouldn't bring your kid. If you're going to go after press conferences, after a loss, you shouldn't bring your kid. Well, if you go there, Mike, I think you should just flat out say, hey, no family members. This is the team. This is you as a player, you as a coach, you as a manager, whatever. I don't know if I agree with that 100% just yet, because it was adorable seeing, was it Riley? Steph Curry's, that was great. It was great. But could that get abused? Where now everyone's bringing their kids up, and especially after a loss, it's like, oh my gosh, I don't want to deal with these reporters tonight, and I don't want to answer these questions about my turnovers or my future or whatever, where you might bring your kids up. I mean, I wouldn't do it anyway. That wouldn't be my style. But I don't know, you and I both kind of looked at each other during the clip. I always hear these clips before they play, obviously, but then we play them back for us and for you, as you know, the Hooligans, the listening audience, to react to. As he's talking, I mean, Mike, it kind of makes sense.
Other than making a rule, because you should be able to bring your family, but other than making a rule, like, you have to understand, if you are a professional NBA player and you bring your kid in as a human shield so you don't have to answer tough questions, and someone from the Boston Globe asks you a tough question, you have to take it. You have to answer that question.
You at least have to be asked the question.
The league is going to have to say, hey, buddy, you brought your kid in. Your kid is not there to protect you from tough questions.
And it's not.
The public needs to know that reporter is not heartless. That reporter is there to do a job.
Correct. And I would, you know, it'd be tough. Like,
I couldn't ask the question. I'd be I don't want to hurt the kids' feelings.
Yeah, like, Joel Embiid had 24 points in that game, 5 boards, 4 assists, 3 turnovers. I mean, it wasn't like a bad game, but they got smoked. They absolutely got smoked. 144 to 114, Mike. You got smoked in game 4. You look at the Lakers, at least they put up a fight against the Thunder in their final game. And this looked like what it was. Like, the Sixers were like, we're not doing anything. We're not coming back from this, which they never do. But it really looked like they believed in that. I don't know. Big Hub says, I mean, I guess it's like bringing your kid to a meeting with your boss. I don't know how else to relate, but I kind of agree. Kind of. There's a story of mine, Michael. I have a friend that he had to let a person go. He was running the company. He had to let a person go. He had to bring her in. It was a secretary, and had to bring this woman in early, first thing in the morning, to let her go. Well, they were all like, it's a family organization kind of thing. And so occasionally, if someone would need to bring their kid in because they, you know, had to pick them up and they were going to be there for another hour or something, it was a very open environment. Like, yeah, go for it. Well, like, the girl brings her daughter in that day. And the boss, like, had no idea, had no way of knowing that. Because, I mean, it was found out it was time to move on from this person, and the decision was final, so now just had to actually do the meeting part of it. Well, the woman just happens to bring her daughter to work, and as the process is playing out, the daughter, like, rolls into the office, like, runs. She's little, and she runs into the office, and it's kind of like, this person was in the middle of doing this, and so there's emotions, and there's tears, and all this stuff. This is a brutal story. I felt for the dude. I really did, Mike. I really felt for the dude. Must be a great guy.
Glad I wasn't there.
Yeah, that would not be one fun meeting for me. But this was a very awkward situation for this guy. And I guess, like, when Big Hub is saying it's kind of like that, yeah, it's not maybe not as extreme as Joel Embiid's getting ready to lose his job, but there are going to be reporters that are asking, do you think you're playing at the highest level that you played at when you won the MVP? Do you think changes need to be made with the 76ers? Do you think you want to be in Philadelphia anymore? Little kid hears that and it's like, wait, we might not be in Philadelphia anymore? Now, I didn't watch the post game of this. I don't know how old the son was, but I didn't see it, but young. This is what every report is, young. I tend to kind of agree with where Nick Wright's going with this, but I'll take it a step further. If you're going to say no kids at press conferences after losses, I think you kind of have to say we're going to do away with any family members unless it's like a pre-approved special circumstance. You win the championship and you're sitting down at the podium, season's done. You're not talking about the future. You might get some questions like that, but that's all fluff stuff at that point. That's all like, hey, you're smoking a cigar, you're probably drinking a glass of champagne or something, and you're wearing your goggles and all that stuff, and it's nobody's talking about turnovers and assists and how to build for the future. You're in that moment. I guess that could be like an exception. But if you're going to say no kids at losses, I think you have to broaden it to like,
no kids after games,
just
period.
No kids. Like, this is still a working environment. And it can be fun. Like, those moments can be fun. As a reporter, too, like, I'm not a reporter. So I go to press conferences, dude. I don't care if they roll out a kid, if they bring out a mascot to talk to us. For me, it's like, is it a story? Is this unique? Okay. Yeah, we're seeing the human side. But for a reporter that makes his or her money off of collecting quotes, like our guy, Kevin Lytle. Colorado one. Mike, he doesn't write as many pieces as he does if he doesn't collect quotes from coaches or players. That's how they develop their stories. They have an idea of a story in mind. So let's say Kevin's writing a story on your running back's history, past history, whatever. So they build that story up, and so when they start asking questions to these players, it's going to be questions that they want answered for the purposes of their work. Now, players can refuse to respond. They can say next question. They can do all those things. But if I'm a beat writer and I make a living off of collecting that information, I kind of view that as, okay, you're viewing this as family fun time, and I'm viewing this as, if I don't have, I got a deadline to meet. If I don't have something worth a damn to put in the paper tomorrow morning or tonight, you know, you just kind of made a mockery of that. And I'm not like, kids are amazing, right? But I do get where if this is your job and you take it seriously, I mean, it kind of makes sense. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. I think Nick Wright makes a good point. He said he was going to get blasted for it. He probably is. But I think there's plenty of people that kind of agree, especially after a loss. It does, you know, you're not going to ask the same questions that you would normally ask if you got little Billy up there.
So you think Nick Wright's right?
I actually do.
I agree with him. I do, too. Can't use your kid to defend yourself against tough questions. You're a professional athlete. You're making a lot of money. You got to answer those questions no matter how much it hurts. It's great that the adorable little child is there.
It's great that they have a good relationship.
You've got to be the man.
Yeah. Faith says, I mean, after a loss, they need their kid more than they need stupid media questions that they ask right after a loss. I know it's their job, but many times the questions are insensitive. Yeah, see, but that's the problem is, like, they need their kids. Okay, they're going to do it, but this is part of their job. They sign it in their contracts. They have to be available to media requests. They have to be available for postgame. If the reporters want to speak to Joel Embiid, you have to be made available. Not every player is asked to step up there. They're not going to be interviewing everyone. It's usually like a head coach, and then the media, the PR team, they typically know who those players are they're going to want to talk to. That's part of the job. So you're technically not off the clock yet. I mean, you're still on the job. It's in your contracts. If you don't speak to the media, you get fined. You remember the Marshawn Lynch, I'm just here because I won't get fined. He had to sit in front of that podium. And listen, some questions I agree. Some are stupid. Some are terrible. Some might be insensitive. But some are actually good. There's plenty of them that are good. You're at the end of the season. You just got your ass kicked by the Knicks in a sweep. And most of those games are blowouts, beyond blowouts. Your fans deserve to know what your superstar thinks about the future of this team. And so I get where you're going with it. Like, they need their kids more than ever. Well, they're getting ready to go home to their kids. They're going to be spending a lot of time with their kids now coming up. That's on you if you're not, because you just got swept. Your season's done. If you choose to go to Cabo on your own or a resort or adult-only resort, that's on you. But if you want to, like, hang out with the family, you got all the time in the world coming up. You still have a job to do, and that's to sit in front of that podium and sit there for 15 minutes and take some questions. I don't know. I can see why people might fight that, because it's like, oh, we're so on the human side of them. Well, I don't need to see it right now. You know, writers that write about you, you know, they probably get more clicks when you win. I would imagine more people want to read about you when you win. Big Hub, but are they really using the kid as a deflection? Was that on the mind of Joel Embiid when he did this? I can't say that. Maybe. They've done this a lot. They all don't want to, most of them don't want to do it. So, yeah, there could have been a thought there of, you know, my kid's here with me and I've got him. I'm just going to bring him up with me. He wants to see how all this works.
Maybe.
And
maybe
they won't
crying.
Ask me. Yeah, maybe. I don't
kid
know.
Kid was crying, wants to hang out with dad.
He said, Chris, just say, I'm here so I don't get fined. I mean,
look, I don't think there should be a rule, because maybe kid does want to be with dad, but dad, you have to understand, the kid's not going to be a gatekeeper. You're going to get those questions no matter what.
Yeah,
and
but you're not.
But
you might not.
Too bad.
But you might not, though. What I'm saying is, even though it's all above board, like, you can do it, I just think even good reporters might go, I'm not going to ask him if he thinks he's going to be in Philadelphia next year, because his kid goes to school in Philadelphia. And that's an awkward thing right there, because then kid goes up, we're not going to be in Philadelphia anymore. I mean, that's just that one right there. And that's just one of a myriad of questions that could be fired your way.
I mean, if you're a good reporter, you're going to have to word that a little differently. Where do you see your future?
Even then, a kid might be like, wait, what does that mean? Is our future not going to be? Now, kids, as they get older, they probably understand the game. They get the game. They know that, hey, there's a chance dad could get traded and all that stuff. But little kids might not. They might just know enough to know that you're asking about my dad's future. What does that mean? Is he okay? Like, I don't know, man. I don't know what goes through a kid's mind.
Unfortunately, like, we all love kids, but your job is to talk to the athlete. So you have to do your job. And if the athlete's going to have the kid there, the kid's going to hear what the media is going to say, and it's going to hear what dad says. And that's on dad.
Yeah.
Not on the reporter.
All right. 25 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's, Broncos, Chiefs, September 14th, Monday Night Football. You know what that tells me, Michael? Something very obvious that's going about someone who's going to be playing. Maybe some ones that are going to be playing.
Bo Nix.
Thanks for giving away the tease there. 25 minutes after the hour. There's another one, though. Don't worry. We'll be right back.
Stampede is almost here. Join Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint for Rodeo Radio this June on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition. Every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
The Whole Show, of course, is brought to you in part by Interior Sprinkler Systems for sprinkler installation, fire extinguisher inspection, kitchen hoods, paint booths, fire alarms. For all your fire and fire suppression and safety needs, visit Interior Sprinkler Systems. Find them online at interiorsprinkler.com. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. The Denver Broncos and the Kansas City Chiefs are set to square off on September 14th. That will be the first Monday Night Football game of the upcoming season, Michael. That's a big one. And that tells me that you said it. Bo Nix will be there. Yeah. Oh, but he missed OTAs. They're not going to hold that against him. And Patrick Mahomes will be there. Because he, of course, I would imagine they've got some... some deep in, because I know it was like an unknown whether Patrick Mahomes was actually going to be able to play, but yeah, he tore the ACL and LCL in his left knee back on December 14th, and there were questions as to whether certainly he's going to miss the season, going to miss a lot of their OTAs and all that stuff. Would he actually be ready for the first? Would he be ready for the preseason? Would he be ready for the regular season? Mike, the NFL knows their stuff, dude. Don't you think the NFL did their due diligence and talked to their medical staffs for both teams, the Broncos and the Chiefs? Seriously, I'm asking, do you think that that was part of the scheduling? Because you're not doing that if Mahomes is a 50-50 and if Bo Nix is a 75% chance of playing, because that is going to be a big dud on a Monday night. Now, I know the Broncos have a great defense. The Kansas City Chiefs got a bunch of really good players in the draft and all that stuff, but take away the two quarterbacks in that game, not the same. Not even close.
It's not, but it sounds like a little bit of conspiracy theory there, Brady.
No, I just think that, hey, you're not going to make your first Monday night game of the season, your first Monday night football game of the season against two teams without their franchise quarterbacks, especially Patrick Mahomes. He's not going to do it. And after the Broncos dethroned the Chiefs and took over the AFC West, which now is going to be a regular thing, they really want that to be you know that's going to be a Patrick Mahomes is back, and he's gonna reclaim the AFC West and take down the Denver Broncos and this defense and young Bo Nix. I don't know. I'm pumped about it, though. Now, here's where I don't like. I'm seeing the Broncos media and a bunch of Broncos people are like, well, this game has to be in Denver. Denver earned that. It doesn't matter to me. It really doesn't matter because they're going to play in Denver. They're going to play in Kansas City. You know, that's how it goes. I don't have any energy on it. That they had the better record, they won the AFC West, they should host the first that Monday night game. It should be at home. I actually would rather host the game that doesn't have the limelight to it. You know, I would rather host the regular Sunday afternoon 2:20 game or whatever, Michael. Because I think Monday night, doesn't matter where you're playing, teams are going to get up for that kind of a game.
I have a feeling they're going to give us a Christmas Day game with the Chiefs.
Wasn't that supposed to be Christmas? Wasn't it Christmas this year?
Yeah, but I feel like they're going to do it again.
Let's try this again.
They've done it to us before in the past, and I didn't like it, especially because the Broncos lost.
That was at Kansas City on December on Christmas. The Broncos won 20-13.
Yeah, the Broncos have had a number of Christmas Day games. I think they played against the Lions on Christmas Day. That was a win. Then they beat the lost to the Chiefs.
Well, then they beat them last year.
Embarrassed by the Rams.
Yeah, that was a tough one. Then they beat the Chris Oladokun-led Kansas City Chiefs 20-13. It was a weird game. Bo threw for 182 yards in that game, a touchdown, a pick. Chris Oladokun threw for 66 yards, Michael, and a touchdown. That helped me because he was in my quarterback toilet bowl, I think, or something. It helped me make sure I wasn't last against Mike Danson. So that was actually a significant game for me.
Who was last?
Who lost the whole thing?
Yeah.
Danson.
Did he ever dress up in
the... We didn't do it yet. We got to do it at some point. We just haven't done it yet. We got to get to Big City Roadhouse and parade him around in feathers or whatever it is we're going to do.
You know, yeah. You might have to remind him this Friday. When if I watch the movie, we all review the movie.
Which movie?
Field of Baseball.
You can't even say it, so we can't do it.
The Field of Baseball Dreams.
I don't want to do that one. I have no desire to watch Field of Dreams. Give me other options. Go ahead.
Field of Dreams.
Give me other options.
Rudy. It's Rudy or Field of Dreams?
That would be a good idea. No, we're not doing Rudy. Golly.
Well, it's either Rudy or Field of Dreams.
No, we're not doing Rudy, and we're not doing Field of Dreams. Nobody wants to do Field of Dreams.
Rudy.
Why can't we do
Dreams.
Something fun like Major League?
That can be the next week.
Is that
this
too
is
obvious?
Drama.
Maybe that's too obvious, because if I'm pushing for it, that means I'm already going to start it. Dude, I could watch Major League any day, all day. I could watch both, Major League 1 and Major League 2. Both amazing movies. Hilarious. Great movies. Great watches.
The first one's good. Second one
fine.
Is all right.
Fine. We'll do... He said Chris says Sandlot.
That would have to be next week, because this week is drama, next week is comedy.
Oh, golly. Faye says Field of Dreams or Angels in the Outfield.
Which
Angels
one?
Angels in the Outfield if it's the remake.
The old one or the remake, because it was an original movie back in 1947, and the score was...
Really?
I don't know who did the original score.
Nobody cares. This is interesting. Tanner texting in. So, okay. Michael, we all know that I'm undefeated against Tanner in our any quest we do, any challenge we have against each other.
You are 1-0.
Just undefeated. Just scratch that from the podcast. Undefeated.
1-0.
But also undefeated. That's more important. And so we toyed with this last year. Tanner has challenged me to a hot dog eating contest the day before Independence Day. Because it would be Friday, July 3rd. And my good friends at Big City Roadhouse are wanting to do that, are wanting to hook us up. Now, we are also wanting to see if there's any challengers out there that want to participate in this journey. My quest is to beat Tanner. But if you win, I don't know, Big City Roadhouse might actually throw something cool in, like a $100 gift certificate or something, to the winner.
Or some of their sauce.
Tanner, you challenged me to it last year. Okay, it was last year. You challenged me to the 9999999999. Yeah, we'll do that too. But you challenged me to a hot dog eating contest last year. He's arguing with me right now. So he said, "Hey, we could dress Mike up there at Big City Roadhouse while we're doing the Hot dog eating contest. Oh, and he can do the hot dog eating contest. Yeah, we could do that. Have Mike and whatever he's going to wear do the hot dog eating contest with us.
That would be Mike Danson.
Yeah, Mike Danson. Sorry. Mike
Danson. Your co-host, Mike.
I don't think you could do a hot dog eating contest. You eat a lot, but you don't eat very fast.
And I eat like throughout the day.
Yeah, you do. So that's I believe that we're doing that. So I would like to see if there's any brave hooligans out there that would like to be a part of this. As far as I know,
is there a limit of hooligans?
We want to make sure we don't have like 30 people there. I think it'd be fair to say, like, can we get 6 or 8 more to join us?
Not 7?
No, I didn't want to say that on purpose because, you know. So I would like to see what we could get there. If there's any brave hooligans that would like to join us on this quest, because it might be a tradition. It might be a new thing at Big City. They put a picture up of your face and you're the winner.
Why was 6 afraid of 7? Because 7, 8, 9.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Weld County Swami, Rookie of the Year. Faith, the remake, obviously not the old black and white version.
The old black and white version, Faith.
No.
We have to do that.
No. How did they even get the Angels to... What'd they do? Just have...
They were on stilts.
Oh, I bet that was fun. No, that was riveting. Oh, it looks like they're flying. No, not really. They're on stilts.
It was like camera tricks.
It's the 50s, bro. Can't really do anything like that. I definitely am voting for not Field of Dreams. Because it's boring. And we already did one boring one. That was really boring. The Natural was really freaking boring. Like, too boring. How is that a classic, Mike?
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
All right. 41 minutes after the hour. We got to take a quick break here. Mike, top 5 questions for the Denver Nuggets going into this offseason. Let's get to that coming up next. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Miles McClarity, safety for the UNC Bears, and you're listening to The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
All right, Mike Wazowski. My top questions going forward for the Denver Nuggets, and these are the biggest what-ifs or what could happen. First things first, I want to know, one way or the other. Number one, well, should I go 5 for... it doesn't matter. It's in no particular order. They're all pretty damn important. What's going on with Peyton Watson? That is priority here. Are you going to go into the second apron? Is that possible to go into the second apron? Are you going to be able to re-sign him? And if so, are you willing to go into the second apron? And if you don't re-sign him, are there other moves ahead? So Peyton Watson's number one. Number two is Aaron Gordon. Now, Josh Kroenke talked a lot about Aaron Gordon, the person he is. And we all love Aaron Gordon, man. There's not a person on this planet that doesn't like Aaron Gordon. I can't imagine. There's many people that don't like Aaron Gordon.
Except for the Aaron Gordon haters.
But can he play? Can he play deep into a playoff series? Can he give you more than 60%, 50% of the season? You have to ask yourself that question. You have to ask him that question. You have to ask medical people that question. Next is Jamal Murray. I think those are the two names that are up for grabs, so to speak. Because I'm fine with Cameron Johnson. I don't know that a lot of people are going to want to take on $23 million next year. He's got 1 year left. I don't know that a lot of teams look at that and say, yeah, we'll pay $23 million for Cam Johnson. I don't know. If you can trade him, then man. But that's not one of my big ones. It's Jamal Murray is next. Are you ready to go on without Jamal Murray in that two-man game that is so heavily talked about in the NBA? Number four is, who are you re-signing that's up for contract renewal? Tim Hardaway Jr., who was on the minimum, the vet minimum. Bruce Brown, who was on the vet minimum. Can you get them both back for that? And that's also a problem when you get into the second apron. You start fooling around with those vet minimums. You can't do those kind of deals as much. What does it look like for those guys? Spencer Jones, who was up for a contract extension. He was converted into a full-time player not that long ago, but he is up. What do you do there? The other guys are team options. Daron Holmes, Julian Strother, Jalen Pickett. Don't know. Those are questions I have. And we'll talk later as we progress into this conversation as to whether or not they should pick up those team options going forward. And the final question, which is the final question for a reason, it's the least important, is there any room to add anybody new? I mean, Peyton Watson's priority number one. If you get him, you most certainly aren't adding anybody new to this roster, so you're essentially running it back with a healthy Peyton Watson. So those are my questions for the Nuggets. We'll get into more of that throughout the week. Avs got the big dub last night. We're feeling fantastic about it. They're up 3-1 in the series and ready to close this series out tomorrow night in Denver. 49 minutes after the hour, Michael. Let's find out what we learned on today's edition of The Whole Show. We'll be right back.
Congratulations to Coach Bruce Dick on winning the Colorado High School Coaches Association 2026 Media Award. Hear Coach speak with Bruce Dick, weekdays at 10 on KFKA.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
All right, what did we learn today, Michael? Hey, we learned that the Avalanche just don't stay down for long, man. They got it handed to them on Saturday. In the Wild, they were feeling themselves. They were cocky about it. They were talking. They were shooting off the mouth. And the Avalanche fought back. And they take the major control of this series, Michael. 3-1. With this thing coming back to Denver. We also learned it's a controversial conversation to bring your kids to the podium after winning or losing a game. And maybe it should be. I don't know. Michael, what'd you learn today?
I think I already knew it, but I learned that you don't want to watch the baseball.
I don't want to watch Field of Dreams.
I thought we had picked.
Well, I guess we can. I guess, is that for sure?
I thought it was for sure.
Okay, fine. Whatever.
I think we should watch that and Rudy, and then no, Angels in the Outfield back to back.
Get it out of your brain. Rudy is not happening.
That's so rude of you.
Yeah, it's not happening. 55 minutes after the hour. We got Rockies back on later today. Looking forward to it. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.